We understand that the angels and mankind was created with the ability to choose. And God made them and us free moral agents. God knew what would happen when he did that. God knew that peace would be sacrificed for a long, long time. We know that the ability to choose led to a rebellion by Lucifer. We know that he became Satan. And we know that peace was no more once he rebelled. And peace has not existed since that time, either in the angelic realm or in mankind here upon this earth. We understand that peace will not be reestablished until Satan and the demons are no longer here. But we understand that peace will be restored when all have become Elohim, those that God has called and choose his way of life. We can see the results of free choice that God gave. We understand that there is only a few that will be chosen to be in God's government in the first resurrection. And then the process will begin during the millennium for man, and then in the 100-year period after that. And there is a process that everyone goes through that God calls. Everyone that will choose God's way of life, there is a process. And God offers them that free choice. And one can then choose through their choice God's way of life. So God gave that freedom to you and me, those in God's church. And we can choose to become Elohim. We have that ability after God gives his spirit to someone. And then they can choose life that will lead to eternal life in the God family. And God has made a way for those that do not want God's way of life. God tells us about a lake of fire for those that do not want his way of life. And that is a merciful way to deal with those that do not choose this way of life. So today we will look at that choice that God gave man, the freedom to choose. So that will be your title today, Freedom to Choose. So we'll begin today in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we know this by heart, but we'll take a look at this because of what it says about you and me. And it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God." Every single Christian has been bought with that price by the sacrifice that was made by Joshua Christ, who died upon that stake, upon that pole. And once we have God's Spirit, we are his field, so to speak, his garden. And that's a way of looking at what Paul wrote in God's book when he said, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price." And we understand the price that was made. And he bought us with an infinite price to be his field, to be where he's working. And it was written in God's book about David and how David used his free choice. And you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to focus on a little bit of what David said, because we can have a look into David's mind and how he viewed things. So I'm going to take some time and read a few of David's quotes that he wrote in the Psalms. And David said to God, "Your word have I hid in my heart," talking about his mind. David said, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." David said, "I will meditate in your precepts." And he also said, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I have kept your testimonies. I have chosen the way of truth." So David said that he chose God's way of life. And David chose by his free choice to observe God's laws. And David said he did it with his whole heart, with his whole mind. And David said he delighted himself in God's commandments. And he said, I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And he said, you are my portion, O Eternal. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. And I have kept your precepts with my whole heart, with his whole mind. So David lived by God's word. And that kept him in righteousness by the way he lived. And we always sing this song that David wrote, how I love thy law. And that song says, how sweet are your words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart, of his mind. And he says, I have inclined my mind to perform your statutes. So when we look into the mind of David, and we do so by looking at what I just read about David, about his mind and how he viewed God and how he chose this way of life. So we see what David understood about God's way of life. And we can see the value that he put on this way of life. And we can see that he chose God's way of life. So we see how much value he put upon what God had offered him. And David knew he had free choice. He could choose. And we see by what he wrote in God's book, we see what was in his mind. And he chose to obey God. And he understood he had that freedom to choose. And he could choose to disobey God. And God had it written in his book about those that he's worked with. So we would have examples. And that would give you and me understanding. And when we look back at what Solomon came to understand, Solomon said that we should consider the work of God. In other words, God's plan. And we could consider what God is doing, what God's plan is for mankind. And Solomon wrote that God was the only one that could make straight paths for man. And we can look on the horizon and see the wisdom in those words, because man cannot direct his paths. We know what it will lead to, the path that man is on, to annihilate himself. So, in other words, God is the only one that has the solutions to the way that you and me are to live life. Solomon said that all of man's efforts were like grasping for the wind. And that's a very good analogy for you and me, because that is basically what it's like. It's like grasping for the wind when we focus on Satan's world and what Satan has produced in this world. And if that's where our mind is and that's where our lusts are, to live after the influence of that being, to live in his world, the world that he has created, we have that choice. God has given you and me free choice. And one can choose not to live this way of life, even after receiving God's Holy Spirit. Mankind has that free choice. And when we look at man's mind, those that are not called by God, and how they think that they can fix this world, Satan's world, and actually there is only one that can fix this world. And God tells you and me how it is to be done. You have that knowledge. And when we look at what Paul came to understand and what God put in Paul's mind to write, he said in the book of 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. Paul said that godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of this world. So when we look at this world that has been created, and we see that some are very wealthy in America, some are billionaires, some are millionaires, great wealth. God says that they can carry none of that out of this world. We know that this world is coming to an end. We didn't know that God's world is on the horizon. And that is the beginning of God restoring peace again that was destroyed a long, long time ago when God gave up peace. And Paul wrote, godliness with contentment is great gain, because this is the only place that you can have contentment. And that is with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit that He has granted to you, those that He has called. And it's only then that one can have contentment. God said in this book that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And I've said this before, the only thing that you can carry out of this world is if you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's the only thing you can carry out. Does not matter how much money you have accumulated upon this earth. Does not matter how much wealth that you accumulate. We can carry none of that out of Satan's world. In this book, Paul wrote, and he said, having food and clothing while we are in this world, Satan's world, we're not to be consumed with the lust that we find in his world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we should not lust after anything in his world. But we have that freedom to choose to partake of those lusts. And many have. We see how man without God's Spirit uses their free choice. God says there is nothing in Satan's world that we can carry out of this world. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing of value in his world. So you and me should be content, because we have the greatest treasure that could ever be offered to anyone. And God likens it like treasure in a field. And we just looked at how David viewed what God had offered him, that treasure that David knew he had acquired. So God had it written even through Solomon, who amassed great wealth. And Solomon came to that conclusion. And he came to understand the whole matter of man while he is here upon this earth. And Solomon came to the conclusion, and he said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. So we can see even Solomon knew the value of what God has offered you and me. And it's not about amassing all the wealth in this world. God says that he will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So there's coming a day of judgment for all of mankind. We understand that we are under judgment now. Under judgment to see if we can attain that treasure. That treasure that David has already attained, because we know what's written about David. And we know that he will be in that first resurrection. So we are under judgment now to see what we will choose. We can still choose not to obey, even though we have God's Spirit. So we understand what Solomon was saying. We understand the uselessness of focusing on the goods of this world. And you and me have to be careful and keep our focus on God and what God is creating, his spiritual creation, his family, Elohim. That's what God is creating. So you and me have to stay focused, and we still have to keep choosing this way of life over and over. We have to choose. We know what Jeremiah said about the mind of man, that it is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah also said that it's not in man to direct his steps. And when we look around at this world, we can see that man cannot direct his steps. Man does not know the way of peace. You and me know how peace will come about. But so me and you have to be careful and not use our physical carnal mind to make our decisions. God gave us understanding, and he gave us that freedom to choose. But we can turn away from the great God of this universe and his Son. And we've seen so many do that very thing. So we understand we have to focus on where God is leading us. And he teaches us that Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 12. We have trials. We have pressures of this world. But whatever it is, we have to be on guard continuously. We have to be careful and not let the pulls of this society affect our focus. The focus of who we are and where we are heading. We always have to stay focused on what God is creating, His spiritual creation. And we have to understand that whatever happens to you in this world, this physical life in Satan's world, we cannot let it affect our spiritual lives. But we have that freedom to choose. So knowing that we have this free choice, we have to stay focused upon God. So in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, God tells us to beware. So it's actually a warning to you and me, because He's telling us to be alert and understand what it's all about. So it was written for you and me to always be aware because of where we live in this age, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life can just reach out and grab you so quick. God tells you and me to beware of those lusts that are in man. He said, unless there be in any of you. Let's notice what it's about. In any of you an evil heart of unbelief, because that's what happens when you let the mind turn. So it's actually about the mind and what takes place in your mind. And it's just like planting a little doubt, a little seed in the mind. And then that doubt can lead you in departing from the living God so quick. We've seen it over and over. And when it happens, it's like flipping a light switch. And I've seen it down through time in my time in God's church. And I have actually talked with brethren one day, and the next day, it's like you do not even know that person when that mind turns. Verse 15. So God says, today if you will hear His voice, just notice what's being said. We know how they rebelled over and over back in ancient Israel. Those that God led out of Egypt. And we understand that these examples were written for you and me. Those that are here at the end of the age. That's why they were written. So God is telling you and me to heed and to be aware. And it's about unbelief. The seed that can so encroach in the mind. And it can grow in the mind until it will actually bring about the ability to depart from God's church. So many have used this free choice that God gave to leave God's church. And so God tells you and me to beware. To beware always. And God says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Those examples that God gave was back in ancient Israel. So God warns us and God tells us what to heed and what to be aware of. And He tells us how we are to live our lives. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 we find. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, so let's pay attention what it's about. It says, let us fear. And I am amazed sometimes where there is no fear about going against God and how quick it can take place in the mind. In that mind turn. So God warns us here and He says to fear. In other words, it's talking about fear to disobey. That's what it's about. And it says, lest any of you seem to have come short. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. And we understand this. We understand that they did not have God's Spirit at that time. So God had it written for you and me. And He says, not being mixed with faith. So we understand that's why. But you and me have God's Spirit. And we've looked at these examples over and over down through time in God's church. And we understand how important these examples are to go back and look. And to understand about all the miracles that they saw and how what they did against God. After all of those things that they saw, after bringing them through the Red Sea, They then use their free choice. And we see the results of what they did by using that free choice and what it brought about. And God had it recorded in His book for you and me. We understand that was done with the physical mind. Now we have God's Holy Spirit, and we still have that free choice. And we know what some have done with that free choice. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He has spoken in a certain place at the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from His works, and again in this place, let's notice, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it. So what is God talking about? Since therefore it remains that some must enter, and we know who those are. We have that understanding. We know God's plan. And Christ also said, when He returns, would He find faith upon this earth? And we know that it will be few that will find this way of life and be chosen at that time. We understand that there will be some alive and live into that millennium, and they will begin their path to receive what God will offer them. So God lets you and me understand His plan, and the plan for the millennium, and the plan for the 100 years after. And we have to have faith in that plan and not lose faith and not let this mind turn. And let's notice the rest of that verse. And to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Disobedience. And God tells you and me in verse 12 that the Word of God is living and powerful. So let's notice how God had it written in this book about the Word of God. And He said that that Word is living. He said that that Word is powerful. And He said that Word is sharp. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So what is God telling us about this sword, this sharp two-edged sword? And let's notice what it does. It's that Word that comes from God that tells you and me how to live our life. And God says to you and me to choose life. And let's notice what that Word that it does that is so sharp. It says it is so sharp that it will cut to the bone, piercing even. Let's notice what it can do. To the division of soul and spirit. So this sharp sword can divide the soul from the spirit. And without God's Spirit, you will die. Eternal death, if sin is not repented of and one chooses this way of life. So this Word that you hear Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, can actually separate you from God and His Holy Spirit if you are not obedient, just as we read. And you have to choose life. You have to choose this way of life. And you have free choice to do that very thing. And you can choose to disobey. And you can choose to rebel, just as we read about every year about ancient Israel and how they rebelled over and over. Disobedience. That's man's downfall. And that can be our downfall as well, even with God's Spirit. God says it can pierce even to the soul and spirit and separate it. And this Word of God cuts both ways, is what God says. And let's notice, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind. Just as Wayne explained in his sermon, intent. God said that's what it can do. It's the discerner of our thoughts and even of the intents that are in our mind. So if we have God's Spirit, we have to be careful and not get caught up in the futility of this world, this age, and to keep our minds focused on the things of God. God says that Word is living and powerful. That's what He says, and it can separate you out of His church if you let the mind turn. God can cut that spirit out of the mind, so to speak. And we always have to remember what Jeremiah said about this man, this human man. And it is deceitful above all things. So when we rely back on this physical mind for understanding, it will take you out of God's church, away from the great God of this universe and His Son. God tells us that His Word, that it is quick, that it is powerful, and that it is sharp. And it can separate the mind from God's Spirit. And it can take that spirit away. And it's a scary thing to understand. But that's what is being said in God's book. And He said that it is a discerner of your thoughts, that Holy Spirit that is in your mind. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 21, and let's look at what He said in verse 29. God tells us about the cares of this life. And we understand it's hard to keep our focus sometimes in this world. But we have to put forth the effort to stay focused upon the way that God says you and me are to live our lives. And we are to live a certain way of life that God has set forth for you and me. And we are to use those commandments of God to direct our steps, to light our paths, so to speak. And in Luke 21 and verse 29... I hope that's the right scripture. But God says for you and me, if not, just listen. It may or may not be right, because I've got two different ones written down here. So, but God says for you and me to choose life, and choose life that will lead to real life, eternal life that God has offered you and me. But Christ is speaking, and He spoke this parable, and He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. So, is that the right scripture? Okay, that's good. But this is the example that's being used, that fig tree. And He says, when they are budding, you will see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So, when you use this example of like looking at the fig tree, we understand what's being said. Because we can see those buds appearing on that tree. When we look at the world scene, when we look at what man is building, we know that it will bring about much death and destruction, those buds on that tree that are appearing. And it can start so quickly, brethren. All the figs are in place, so to speak. All those buds are upon that tree at this time. And that's the example. But once man pushes that button, so many lives can be affected. And we know it is like looking at that fig tree. We know when we look around at all the events in this world that is taking place, when we look at the news, we know that this time is near. We know that fig tree is nearly full. In verse 31, Christ said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. So when we see that fig tree budding, and we look at this example that was given, we see those nuclear weapons that are budding on that tree. There are so many that you can kill man over many, many times. So Christ said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. And He said, this generation will by no means pass away until all things take place. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's words are here to stay, brethren. For the next 1,100 years, God's words will be enforced during the millennium. And He says, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts, your minds. So God said through Christ that His words would not pass away. And He said, take heed to yourself and let not your minds be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness, both physical and spiritual drunkenness, brother. So the cares of this life, the drunkenness that can take place in the mind in this world, That's why you and me have to be alert, to beware, and stay focused upon what God has offered you and me, and choose God's way of life and not partake of these things in Satan's world, the enticements that are there. So much on the internet, so much on the TV, there are no morals left, brother. And you can partake of those things, the pornography that is there. Children walking around with cell phones. And when you want them to be exposed to those things, just give them a cell phone, and they will be exposed. But that's the times that you and me live in. And let's notice what happens if you focus upon those things in Satan's world. It says that day will come upon you unexpected. That's what God says. God says if you turn back into Satan's world, his spirit will no longer be active in your mind. And you will no longer have a front row seat to see the most awesome events that are coming upon this world. So we need to keep our focus. That's what God is telling you and me. And he said, don't let anything distract us. Don't let anything take us off of God's focus and his plan. God is getting ready to reveal himself to this whole world. It is on the horizon, brother. And Christ is about to come in and usher a new world where he will be the king. Will be a new age that God tells us about in his book. Verse 35, he tells us that it will come as a snare on those who dwell upon the face of this earth. They don't believe it can happen. When you look at the news and the politicians, we know that they think in their mind that they can fix it. But we know better. We know what God's plan is. We know that this age is coming to an end, and no one can stop it. No one can fix it except one. And that's for the return of Joshua Christ back to this earth. That's the only way that this can even begin to be fixed. Verse 36, God tells you and me to watch, not to participate. We have a front row seat to see what man is doing to himself. To watch. God tells you and me to watch and pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. And let's notice the rest of the verse. And to stand before the Son of Man. So we now understand that he is coming back. And you do not want to miss out standing before the Son of Man. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 5. We live in this age, and God tells us how we are to live in this age while we are in this flesh, while we are in this physical body. And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5 to be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. In other words, we are to live a certain way of life as God instructs through his ministry and through his book. And it says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart, talking about the mind, being obedient to God and live the way that God says to live in this age. So we should be good employees, good employers in this age. We are to be a good example to everyone. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. We are ambassadors of the great God of this universe and his Son, Joshua Christ. And that's who we are. And when we go before people in this world on our jobs, we should be the best example that we could be. Verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, we are to do it the right way, the correct way. So Christ is telling us of a way to live and of a way to treat one another, both in the world and both in the church of God. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armor of God because of what we're discussing today, of what man can do, of what man can choose, even with God's Spirit. And God tells us to put on that whole armor, not just a piece or two. God says we are to put all of it on. Everything that He has made available to you and me, so that we may be able to stand. Let's notice against what? The demon world. God says we are to put on the whole armor that He has provided you and me, so that we can stand before the wiles of the devil in the world that He has created through His influences, the world that you and me see. So God had it written about who our battles are with. And He said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So God lets you and me know that they are there. God lets you and me know that it is a demon world. So with the human nature that you and me have, that Jeremiah tells us about, that man is not able to direct his own steps. And Jeremiah tells us that this mind that we have is hostile to God and His way of life. Unless God gives us help, we have to have that help. But God lets you and me know where that battle is, that war that we are in. It's the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. The battle for this mind that takes place. And I've said it so many times. So we have to take our focus on what God is teaching us week by week, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. So when we look at that fig tree that Christ told us about, and those buds that are forming on that tree, those nuclear weapons that are budding on that tree, we know that it is pointing to a crescendo that our minds cannot comprehend. God tells us and gives us eyes to see of what is coming upon this world that has been created. And we know and understand that the kingdom of God is not far away, because of what Christ has told us in this book, and because we have an apostle at the end time that is preparing God's church for the return of His Son back to this earth. Therefore, our name, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth, the church of God that is preparing. So God tells us in verse 13 what we have to do, that we have to take up the whole armor so that we can withstand, God calls it, the evil day, the evil time. What it's speaking about is the day of Satan's world, 6,000 years of his rule upon this earth, his influences for 6,000 years. God says we are to stand, having girded your waist with truth, verse 14. And that's why we come before God every Sabbath, to gird our waist with truth, so to speak. And that's what you hear on God's Sabbath days. And that's when God teaches you and me on these days. And God said it in His Word. He said, to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod our feet, let's notice what with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, let's notice what's being said, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we know that that is speaking about the demon world. That's what it's speaking about. God tells us that we have to fight this fight with faith. Faith that God is leading this church. Faith that this is God's church. And it says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench. And let's notice how it's said and what's being said. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. And let's notice, here's that sword being spoken of again. The sword of the Spirit. And let's notice what it is, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So God tells us how to fight this battle, this war that we are in, the battle of our life for our spiritual life. God tells us how. So let's turn over to the Psalms, Psalms chapter 11. And let's go back. At the beginning, we looked at what some of what David had said. So let's go back to Psalms 11 and see what David wrote a long time ago. We saw a little bit of what was in David's mind because of what he wrote in God's book that we read a little bit about at the beginning. But let's look at what he said in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 1. David said, "In the eternal I put my trust." And we've just heard sermons about trust in God. Ron has been doing a series about that trust. So this is what David wrote in God's book a long time ago. And that's where his mind was. And he said, "In the eternal I put my trust." And we know by what he said, with his whole mind. That's what he said. Everything in his being, he put his trust in God. In verse 3, let's notice what David wrote. "If the foundations are destroyed." So let's notice the question. If the foundations are destroyed. So, what can the righteous do? Another question. If you destroy the foundations of what you believe in your mind, there is no solution for those that do this. If the foundation is destroyed, and we've seen so many do that very thing, destroy the foundations of the mind. And when the mind takes a turn, and when that foundation is destroyed that has been built in the mind, most will never find their way back to God's church. Let's notice verse 4. David said, "The eternal is in his holy temple." So that's where God is. David said that's where God is. That's where God is working. And that's the only place that you can find God. And that's what God had David wrote. Write in his book. And he says he's in his holy temple. It says the eternal's throne is in heaven. That's where his throne is. And his eyes behold. Let's notice. His eyelids test the sons of men. The eternal tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So there is only one holy temple. There is only one true church of God. David said that's where God dwells, in his holy temple. And that is in his church. That's where you will find God. And there is no other place upon the face of this earth. There is only one. And this is where he is working today. That's where we find God. Verse 6. We know everything will take place in time in God's plan. And let's notice what else David wrote. And he said, "Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind will be the portion of their cup." So we understand that it's everything in time in God's plan. You and me have to face the trials and the futilities that we face in this life at this time. We have to keep our focus upon the coming kingdom of God to this earth. And we have to continuously choose this way of life, week by week, day by day. When we get up every morning, we have to choose. Something will happen in our life that we have to make those choices every day. God tells us what will happen in time when he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and it will be the portion of their cup. We understand when this is. We understand that Satan and the demons will be chained up in just a short while for 1,000 years. And God tells us of a time when all of this will take place. And he tells us what will take place for the demon world when they will be no more. We know their fate. We know Satan's fate. We know there is a time when he will be no more. Verse 7. For the eternal is righteous, and he loves righteousness. And that's what it's about, to bring about righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So when we look at what David wrote, and when we go all the way back to Moses, and we can see that obedience has always been the thing that man has problems with, obedience. God says we are not to be conformed to this world that we see. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we do that Sabbath by Sabbath. God says to everyone that is among us not to think of himself more highly than he should. In other words, not to let the mind go beyond what it should. To always keep this mind in subjection. And I use the politicians sometimes because of the way their minds swell. We can look at how great they think they are. We know that they think they can fix everything. And that's the age-old story of man down through time. And when we look at the history down through time of man, man have always had those issues. We've seen how the great men have rose and how they have failed. We've seen how nations have rose and failed. We can see the pride that was there and how great each nation thinks they are. And it's the age-old story for 6,000 years. So God tells you and me of a way that we should conduct ourselves in this life, in the church of God. And he tells us that there is a way we should think with this mind. The mind that has God's influence in it, that Holy Spirit. And we've had sermons about the influences of God. You and me understand that we should not let the mind swell and not think of ourselves more highly than is written, just like it's written here, than we should think. Not to let the human mind swell beyond what it should. But we know we can do that. We can rebel with God's Spirit. And we've seen so many do that very thing when they do not like the way that things are being done in God's church. There was a time when Satan walked side by side with the great God of this universe. But something happened in his mind. And his mind turned. And we know that story. So God tells you and me to think soberly with this mind that he has given us. To know who we are. To know what we are, to know what God is creating, and to stay focused upon that creation, his spiritual creation, the creation of his family. God says that you and me are to choose life so we can be in that creation, that final creation of Elohim. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And we know that that's talking about the demon world. Among whom also we all conducted ourselves, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God has awakened you and me. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh, just as what was written in this book, every one of us. But God called us, and he has awakened us, and he has given us his truth. And if it was not for God revealing that truth, we would be just like the others, except for the grace of God, there go I. We would be partaking of those lusts that are in the world that has been created. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. So we understand that when God gives us his Holy Spirit, we are given a measure of faith so that we can see God's plan. He gives every one of us that measure of faith. And this plan was laid out before time ever began, brother, of what God was going to do. And it is by the grace of God that you and me are sitting here in his church today. And we are God's fellow workers, so to speak. That's what he tells us. We are his field. And we are the church of God, and we are what God is building. We are part of that spiritual creation. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 16. And we'll read, it's just about what we are talking about, the mind, and what takes place in the mind. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it talks about the Spirit. It talks about God's Holy Spirit and what it does. And it says that Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have that understanding. We have that measure of faith that God has given to each and one of us, so that we understand that we are God's children. We are his building. We are his creation. And there is the way that we know, through that Spirit. That Spirit that works in our mind. And we know the truth that God has revealed to you and me. And we know how God called us. We know how God continues to work with each and every one of us. You have that knowledge in your mind. You know that it is from the great God of this universe and his Son, because of what God wrote right here in his book. That Spirit that bears witness with that Spirit that is in your mind. It's how you know. And let's notice the rest of the verse. And if children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, there's that word if we also suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. God says through Paul, and we've looked at some of Paul's suffering that he did. We know that he was shipwrecked. We know that he bobbed up and down in that water. We know that he was bitten by a snake. And he was beaten so many times and actually left for dead. We know that they finally killed Paul. They finally killed him. So Paul knew a lot about suffering. And Paul wrote in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us," about God's spiritual creation. And it is the greatest struggle of life to fight for God's way of life. And it is a fight. It is a battle. It is a spiritual war. And it does not come easy. We have to continuously fight for this way of life. Every day that we get up, we have to fight. Have to keep focused on this way of life and what God has offered you. So God had it written through Paul that through these intense battles that we go through in this life, and believe me, Paul went through some intense battles, some intense struggles. But God uses those trials, as we know, those trials that everybody goes through. He uses those trials to mold and fashion the mind that is in each and every one of you, so that you can be part of his spiritual creation. And it, continuing on, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation that waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." So we're looking forward to Christ returning to this earth to see that manifestation of that first resurrection. We look forward to Joshua Christ coming that will establish God's rule upon this earth, to establish God's laws upon this earth. And we look so forward to that day coming. And in verse 20 we find, for the creation, speaking about the spiritual creation, itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. For we know that the whole creation groans. Speaking about the spiritual creation, and we do groan. And God says it's like labor pains. That's what it's like. And we feel those labor pains. And we look forward to when the full birth will occur. So we understand what's ahead for the Church of God. The Church of God, PKG. The kingdom of God is upon us. And the return of God's Son is upon us. It's not far, far away. And that's what's ahead for you and me. And like I said, we are feeling those birth pains as we move through God's plan. We can see these birth pains coming closer and closer. And it's like that fig tree that we talked about and those buds on that fig tree. We see those pains. We see what's ahead. We see all of it coming to a crescendo to bring about what you and me have looked for so long. The kingdom of God coming to this earth. We look forward to God coming and stopping the annihilation that would take place. We look forward to a wonderful, wonderful world on the horizon. A beautiful world that God will bring to man. To bring about that peace that He gave up so long ago. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. But that world is on the horizon. Well, God will begin to restore that peace that He gave up. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, it's what we're talking about. Looking forward to these things we are talking about. And He says to be diligent. Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So it's telling us about the way to live our life. To repent of sin when we find sin in our life. To clean our lives up and to live the way that God says. And to consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. To reflect on those things. And also as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, is also in all his epistles speaking of them, of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. And we know that without God's Spirit and without God's apostle upon this earth to explain these Scriptures to you and me, we know what the Catholic and Protestant world has done to these Scriptures. We know the twist that they put there and the lies that they teach. So that's what this is telling us. And He says, you therefore, verse 17, since you know this beforehand, let's notice, beware. Here's that word. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So Paul tells you and me to be careful, lest we would fall from our own steadfastness. To break those foundations that are built in the mind that God tells us about, that David wrote about. And we've seen so many destroy those foundations that were built in their mind. Verse 18, we are told what to do so this will not happen to you and me. God tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Joshua Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4 and verse 7, I'll just start reading through this and you can catch up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But it's about this treasure that we talked about earlier. And it's about God telling us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we know that that's talking about God's Holy Spirit that He has given us, that pearl of great price, that treasure that is in the field that you can attain. And we have that treasure in earthen vessels, that if you don't give up, if you can attain that pearl of great price, you can be in that spiritual creation. And it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And we understand that. It's by God's power that it is done. And it's through that Spirit that He has given to each of you. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, and we are, yet not crushed. We know we have trials, and we are perplexed sometimes, but we are not in despair. In other words, we can still keep our focus. Doesn't matter what the trial is, we understand God's plan. And we know that we can be persecuted. Paul was persecuted terribly. Paul also persecuted many terribly in his day. But not forsaken, not struck down, not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord, Joshua, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. So we understand what this is saying. We live in this physical world. We live in Satan's world. And we know that we are dying day by day in this physical body, but we also have a spirit in us that will lead to life forever. And we understand this. And when it said that Christ may be manifested in our mortal body, that's by the way you live. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Christ will also raise us up with Christ and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hopefully, you keep your focus on God day by day. And hopefully, you get up and you choose God's way day by day. All of the servants of God have suffered. Everyone that has been called. No one is immune to the suffering. And we understand how God uses those trials and that suffering. We all suffer. But Paul understood something very important. That in the space of time, it was nothing. He said it was just a light affliction that was just a moment in time. It will come to an end. The suffering will come to an end. That's what God says in this book. And it's hard for the human mind to comprehend such a time. God likens it to childbirth. And after the birth, I never had a child, but I know that my wife didn't focus on the pain that was there. She focuses on the joy that we had because of that child that was born. And that's what God reckons it like in this book. Paul says it's just a light affliction for a moment in time. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen. So you and me don't look at Satan's world. We don't look at all the physical things that we can attain in this life. We look for the city of peace that is composed of spirit. That's what you and me look for. And that's what you and me are to focus upon, the kingdom of God. And we are to look past the pain of our suffering. God said that He will not put more upon us than we can bear. God uses those trials to train each and every one of you to keep your focus upon His plan. To know that that suffering will end. It will come to an end. And God says in this book, we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. those things that God is creating. The world cannot see what you see, brother. That's where you are to focus. And that's the things you are to choose, those things that are not seen. Day by day, week by week, Sabbath to Sabbath. God has given you a vision and let you see that plan, that invisible plan to man. And now you have been given that free choice, just like the angelic realm. You have freedom to choose. And that's why you're here. And you are choosing life, Sabbath by Sabbath, week by week. That's what you're actually doing. But you can choose death if you wish. God gave you that ability. God tells us that the things which are seen are temporary. Won't be here forever. Satan's world won't last forever. It's coming to an end. God says the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that he has let you see. Things that you can see with your mind. You can see what God is creating. You can see that spiritual creation in your mind. God says that we can attain spirit life that is never ending. Life that will exist forever. We can have it. We can have what God is offering. But we have to live a certain way of life. We have to have rules in our life. God gave us rules to live by. He gave us 10 commandments. And Christ came and expounded on those 10 commandments and gave us the spiritual applications of those commandments and how we are to live our lives. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and let's notice what was written. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. We know that we are physical beings in a physical world. So God had it written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, it's the way it said, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. You can destroy this physical body. You can destroy this mind, but only you can do that one. Only you can do that. Destroy that mind by your choice. You have the right to choose to destroy that mind. And only you have the power to do that. God wrote, "For if this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, not made with hands, if you have God's Spirit in that mind, eternal in the heavens, that will lead to eternal life forever and ever." Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven." And I do long to have that spirit body. This one is beginning to hurt a lot. I'm ready to trade it in. And I know most of you do too. And the good news for all of us is someday we will shed this flesh. And we will have a spiritual body. If. It's always that word if in God's book. If we choose what God has offered you. But we do groan, those of us that have God's Spirit, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, which is from God. Talking about that spiritual body that God will give each and every one. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. Let's notice that mortality may be swallowed up by life, real life. That's what it's speaking about. When God talks about life, it's life eternal. That's what he's offered. And he says, well, let's notice verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Therefore, your name. Preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And God is the one that is doing it. God is preparing you for that very thing. Now, he who has prepared us for this thing is God, who has also, let's notice, given us his Spirit as a guarantee. That's a guarantee from God if you continuously choose this way of life. Choose what he has offered you. So what better guarantee could you want than to have that guarantee from the great God of this universe? Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 69 and let's read again what David wrote. David wrote these Psalms and he tells us so much about how he felt. And this is another account where David wrote how he felt in the world that he found himself in, this physical world, Satan's world. In Psalm 69 in verse 1, he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." So we can see David suffered in Satan's world. And that's why he wrote this in the Psalms, so we could understand what was in his mind and how he felt and the trials that he faced while he was here physically upon this earth. And the people of God down through time have been no strangers to suffering. David did his share of suffering. That's the reason he wrote this song, because how he felt at that time. And that's what was in his mind at that time. And so many others that God has worked with suffered mightily. In 1 Kings, you don't have to turn over there. I'll just tell you about what happened to Elijah. We know the story. We know about Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And we know that account. And this is written so we can understand what took place and what Elijah did and how Elijah also felt. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying that, "So let the gods do me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time." So when he saw this, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And he sat down. He went down a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down upon a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. In other words, trials can get to every one of us. And the trials had got to Elijah till he said that it was enough. And we say that in God's book about these trials, we know about how Stephen lost his life. And we know about how all the disciples lost their life except for John. And we could talk about many, many more in God's book about the things that they faced. But Elijah, even after he had seen all that God had done, he sat down upon a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He thought it was as much as he could bear. And he said, "Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." So we see a little bit into Elijah's mind. And he came to understand what the Apostle Paul wrote many years later. "O wretched man that I am." It's what he came to understand. And we can see what Elijah felt like in this flesh. And he said it was enough. And we know that God was merciful to Elijah. But we see the pressures that he was under. And we understand what God did for Elijah. And he did not put more upon him than he could bear. And we know the story of what God did for Elijah. And if you don't, you need to go back and read the story. So you and me have to be careful and understand all these were given for examples for you and me about the trials and about the war that we are in and the battles that we face in this life. And we can look at some of the battles that they faced. Elijah was running for his life. God has given you me understanding of what has took place through time, through some of his servants, and how they suffered. Paul said, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. We understand that the God of this age has blinded mankind, but it won't be for long now when God will take that veil away. His age is coming to an end. And I look so forward to the day when that veil will be taken away. And everyone can see what you see now. Everyone can come to the knowledge of the great God of this universe and his Son and what took place through time. And then they can have what you and me have been offered, that pearl of great price, that treasure that is in the field. And they can choose. They will have that free choice to choose, just like you. And they can choose life or they can choose death. God had it written about this treasure that we can choose in his book. God has opened your mind and given you understanding of what is taking place upon this earth and in his plan. He has shown light. This is what he calls it in his book. His light lightens your path so that you can see the path that you should take. God tells us that he has given us so much understanding. And when we understand who we are and what we are called to be a part of, when we understand these sufferings and why they are there and why they are taking place in our lives, and we can see the servants of God that have suffered in our past, we can see that none of those were immune. We all suffer, but we don't suffer like some of these in the past suffered, brother. We have it so easy. We have an air-conditioned building with a fan. But nobody is immune. And it's good to go back and look at what Elijah suffered, what David suffered, what Paul suffered. And we have some suffering today. Ron is suffering. So it's his time. And we'll see where that leads. But all of God's servants have suffered. But all have understood that in the space of time, it was nothing compared to what God had offered them. God says we are like dust on the scales. That's what we are. We're like a fading flower. And the petals are falling off of my flower, I can tell you. But God is telling us the good news. The good news of his intervention into man's lives that will take place in just a short while. He is telling us about a kingdom that is coming to this earth that is composed of spirit. That's where our focus should be, upon what God is doing and choosing what God has shown you, his plan. It's the vision that God has let you see, his plan. And hopefully everyone chooses what God has offered them. But God is teaching you now, therefore your name, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And it's a wonderful thing to know about what God is doing and to prepare for what's ahead. And that's why you're here. God says the things which are seen are temporary. That's what they are. But the things which are seen are eternal. They are spirit, brother. It's a spiritual creation that God is creating. And you can see that spiritual creation. You have that foundation built in your mind to see what God is creating. And it's forever, brethren. God is letting us know that his plan for his family that he is creating, it is forever. Eternal life forever. And I know we can't comprehend such a thing, to have this eternal life without pain, without suffering, with joy forever. It's what God tells us about his plan. And God has good news for every one of us. We will shed this flesh one day when our time comes to be in his family, to become Elohim. And we do groan, desiring to be clothed with our habitation from God into that spiritual body. which is from God, the great God of this universe. And that is what he has offered you, brethren, so that you can choose his way of life and know what his plan is for that spiritual creation, to create his family, Elohim. So, brethren, choose life. Choose what God has let you see. And don't destroy the foundations that are in that mind. We've seen so many, when the mind turns, the foundations crumble. So, brethren, choose what God has offered you and me.